And it was so small.
Yeah. Oh man, I gotta bring it back. Okay, we're towards the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Okay, we got it all set. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, let's recap where we're at in our adventure. Our adventure starts with a question. The half nezek tsroros, the half damage of tsroros that the rabbi says, halacha l'moshe misinai, does it come from the body of the animal, or does it come from beyond the body of the animal? We're trying to give back proofs back and forth, and the proof we're in the middle of is point number 7, a Mishnah that says if a dog took a cake with a coal inside of it, or a pile of grain, if he ate the cake and it burned the grain, he pays full damage for the cake and half damage for the grain. Now, the Gemara assumed at this point that the reason why you're paying the half damage for the grain, because it's a case of tsroros. Also, they brought a brisa that explained on the Mishnah that the half damage is paid from the body of the animal. So if it comes from the body of the animal, we see from that tsroros pays from the body of the animal the half. And that should settle Rava's Shiloh. Which the Gemara said that's a big problem, because in that whole discussion there's a Rabbi Elazar who argues with that first opinion. And Rabbi Elazar says in that case, when the coal burns the rest of the grain, Rabbi Elazar says you pay the full amount. He argues with the Tanakhama. Now paying the full amount, and the Brisa also says that that's also from the goof, from the body of the animal. So the machlokas is in that fire that's caused from the animal, the first opinion says you pay half, the second opinion says you pay full. Now, if you're going to say, as you suggest, that the reason you're paying in this case is because it's a case of tsroros, it's a case of the damage beyond what the initial impact is, and you want to say that's the proof, but there's nobody, not even Sumchus, will say that when you pay full damage for tsroros, you pay it from the body of the animal, because full damage is always for damage choices. Is from the best. So therefore, we cannot say that it is a case of tsroros. And that's not the interpretation of this Mishnah with the Brisa. So that proof is wrong. But you have to have another way of, you have to have some tenable way of understanding it. So the alternative approach to understanding the Brisa is point number 12. We have to say that the dog acted in an abnormal way. It wasn't just taking the cookie, there happens to be a coal there, but actually the coal was in his mouth too, and his teeth as well, which makes it abnormal. It makes it a case like Karen. Once it's a case like Karen, then you can say that for Karen, Sumchus will pay, you pay the full damage for that, because as well we have to add one more point. What was one more point? That the damage happened in the damagee's field, where we have an opinion of Rabbi Tarfon that says what's in the damagee's field, you pay even for half nezek tam, you pay the full choice amount, and that full amount would be from the body of the animal. Right? That would be the exception to the rule, because it really is an unusual case. So it's a chatzi nezek tam. So the same thing over here, since it's unusual, it's a chatzi nezek tam. So it is the tsroros of Karen, but it's done in the property of the damagee. And therefore we advance it. So it's got two items over here. It's the chatzi nezek tam, which pays from the goof. That we know it pays from the body, even if it is tsroros, but the fact of the matter is, it's in the damagee's property together with the chatzi nezek tam, which pays from the body. So there we'll have a case where the full amount is paid from the body. Because it's not a typical case of tsroros. It's more of a case of the damage of a keren in someone else's reshus. And that makes it different.
So is that a fine? Still a fine then?
What?
So that's still considered a fine or restitution?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know.
It sounds like a restitution.
According to Rabbi Tarfon, I don't know if it's a fine.
But if the damage amount exceeds the body of the animal, then it's not restitution.
Yeah. So then, yeah, it's
so how do you?
I guess so. Well, that's what does he always say? Bechatzi nezik tam shusa nezik. You pay the full amount, right? You pay the full amount. That's a good question. How to look at that? I could see looking at it both ways.
But what does it matter?
Well,
it's not
it matters
or not.
If the animal's not the value of the payment,
right.
Then you don't pay the full amount, not full restitution.
No, but what do we call it? A fine or restitution?
Because. A fine means it's not, you don't, the point is not to pay back the damage. The fine means we want to make sure it doesn't happen again, but we're not looking for full restitution.
But once we establish how much we pay, what does it matter what
well,
we call
if
it?
Well, if you're saying, it does, if you say you pay half to the value of the animal, if the animal's worth $5, you ain't getting the half. The half is the maximum, but it can very well go to a minimum to what the value of the animal is. So now if you're paying the full amount, all right, so there's still, so it's still not such a simple interpretation of Rabbi Tarfon. Even Rabbi Tarfon, it's a little bit challenging, and we'll have to see. But that's Rabbi, and that's really on 18b. But that's Rabbi Tarfon's opinion that Karen in the victim's properties pays the full amount from the body. So we'll have to leave it for the next page to get more into understanding what, how does that work exactly? If it's full, it shouldn't be from, but that's his opinion. So we can go with that. And that's the alternative understanding of the Brisa. Has nothing to do with a simple case of Tsroros. Has nothing to do with that. And there is no proof from there. No proof from there. So now we're going to continue. And what's going to happen now is that, no, the other side, now here, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say what's wrong with it, but we'll go ahead anyway. And the Gemara acknowledges it's wrong with it. So at this point in the game, right at the end of point 12, it seems this is the only way to understand this Mishnah in the Braisa. That it could never be a proof to our Shiloh. It could not be a proof. Because you want our Shiloh's pure Tsroros. Pure Tsroros. Where does the half damage come from? And we just showed you there's no way you can learn this Mishnah in Braisa as a pure case of Tsroros. Because there's no way you pay the full amount from the body. So therefore we had to say the only way you can learn it, the only way you can learn it is a totally different case where the main thing is it's unusual, so it's chatzi nezek tam in reshus hanizik, and we add those factors together and you hold like Rabbi Tarfon, then you can come up with a full payment from the body of the animal, and therefore there's no way this Mishnah Braisa could be a proof to our Shiloh. What the Gemara is going to do is say, no, I will show you another possibility of doing it. Now, the problem with that now is when you're trying to prove a Shiloh, the only way you can prove a Shiloh from a Mishnah, if that's the only way you can understand the Mishnah. In other words, if we bring a Mishnah, it says, well, what does the Mishnah mean? Well, the only thing it can mean is this, and that's a proof. Now, normally, the way you knock off such a proof is say, well, maybe that's one way, but maybe we can learn another way. And who says your way is the right way? That's the typical way you knock off a proof. You say, well, isn't this case, that was upstairs over here when we brought, on point two, answer from a brisa. When it says, well, dancing chickens which breaks utensils, not mu'ed, some say it's a mu'ed. And it says, well, what's going on? It says, well, I guess it was tsroros. They said, no, that's not the only way to learn it. You can learn it the whole place with machlokas, is he sumus, is rabbanan. Once you can offer an alternative way of learning it, you can't say it's a proof.
Yeah.
Here, the Gemara did more. The Gemara in point number 11 and 12 says, the way you're learning it is wrong. It can't be learned your way. And the only way we can learn it is a different way. So now, what is the Gemara going to do now? It says, well, I'll tell you, it could still be a proof. But if it can still be a proof, it can't be a proof. Why? Because we gave an alternative way of learning the Mishnah already. Once we gave an alternative way of learning the Mishnah, it doesn't matter what you're going to say. Well, let's say it's this and this, and it's still Tsroros. Fine. But I already showed you an alternative way to learn. How can it be a proof? So that's what makes this next, you know, just doing the Gemara, well, the commentators all jump on this. Right at this point, the commentator says, let's close the game. Let's close the game right now. Unless you could show that the alternative approach is wrong. Say the alternative approach is wrong, and now I'm going to give you a way to come back. Okay, then we're talking. But that's not what the Gemara is going to do now. All the Gemara is going to do is say, well, no, I can still say it's talking about regular tzroros, and it could be a proof. Shkoyach, it could be a proof, but it's not necessarily a proof. So, and the commentators are at a loss to understand why is the Gemara doing that. In other words, saying, well, you know, as long as there's, you know, some kind of proof, I guess, you know, if somebody would run a paskin in this way, at least he could, according to the way he wants on the Mishnah, could have proof. But this is very unusual type of Gemara. Usually, once you've provided an alternative to what you feel it is, that's the end of the proof and at the end of the discussion. Let's not go any further. The Gemara insists on plowing ahead and saying, no, we're gonna, even though, yes, you have an alternative way of learning the Mishnah and has nothing to do with classic Tzroros, has nothing to do with our Shaila, but we could find another way that could make it relate to our Shaila. But even after you do that, it's not going to be of much help because it still can't prove the Shaila. But at least don't tell me I couldn't bring a proof at all from this. At least have some guy. I'm so crazy to try to bring it as a proof. And at least this is a way of making be a proof. But even after it will do that, it's still not going to help. Mm-hmm. Right? That's going to be the problem. So why has that been done? So that is the next step of the Gemara. Okay? It kind of like takes you all out of the mood to do it, right? This is God's holy Torah, and that's what he wants our brains thinking of and not what's going on in the world right now. Okay, so Gemara says, and that's where we're picking it up, eight lines from the bottom. Gemara says, Velohi. No, we don't have to necessarily say that the way you're learning it is the only way to go. In other words, that's what it says. It's not... It is not so compelling a rejection. Like you, Mamish, may like Mamish threw my answer out because my answer is wrong, and the only way to learn is differently. So, like, don't throw it out so much. Now, look in the notes. It's also grappling with that. Your argument above that the Braisa must be dealing with that normal capability is not unassailable. Meaning, you can't argue with that. True, the Braisa might be dealing with abnormal activity, as you have explained, and thus Rava's inquiry cannot be resolved from the Braisa. But your proof that it must be so is flawed, as the Gemara goes on to show. So in other words, okay. You know. So in other words, so what do they really say? what you have to say is like this. You're right, forget it. I'm not going to be living a proof anymore. But one thing's for sure, that's not the only way to learn the Mishnah. In other words, I thought I could bring it as a proof to my Shiloh. Okay, it's not a proof to my Shiloh, but you're insisting that when we learn this Mishnah, this is the only way to learn the Mishnah. So I'm going to tell you there's another way to learn the Mishnah. So why are you doing that? Because at the end of the day, it's not learning Torah is not just to prove that you're right. Learning Torah is to just know the emes. So you told me it's not a proof. Okay, I'm maskim. I agree. It's not necessarily a proof because you've given another way to learn it. Fine. But let's not finalize and say, and that's the only way to know the pshat in that Mishnah. You're right. We're not going to answer our Shaila anymore. We have no proof from this Mishnah because you've given an alternative way to learn the Mishnah. But you said it so strongly, it's not just an alternative way to learn the Mishnah. You said it's the only way to learn the Mishnah. So now it's not the only way to learn the Mishnah. We could still have another way of coming up with paying the half. Through Tzroros, the way I feel it's connected with Tzroros. But you're right, it may not be the only way to understand the Mishnah. So therefore, it's this point in the Gemara is acknowledging I can't bring this as a proof anymore, but at least say maybe there's another way to learn the Mishnah, so at least understand the truth of the Mishnah. And that's what he's going to do now. Now, what was the whole problem? What's the whole problem over here? Why is this understanding the first opinion of the rabbi so hard? Because we can't understand Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is the hard opinion to understand. Because Rabbi Elazar is saying you're paying, it appears to be a case like Tzroros, because the fire is here and it makes the damage there. And there's an opinion that seems to be saying by Tzroros, you pay the full damage from the body. And that was a problematic position. How do you say paying full damage from the body for Tzroros? That was the whole problem. And I had, and you've come up and said, well, it's not really simple tzaras. It's really chatzi nesek tam. It was unusual. And I have to add in Rabbi Yehuda. And now I'm making up a sekvetch through that, okay, I can see how Rabbi Lazar says you pay for tzaras the full damage. So that seemed to have been the problem. He says, well, let's attack that problem from a different way. You felt the only way to deal, the problem is, how do you get Rabbi Lazar to say, in a case that looks like tzaras, you're paying full damage from the body? So you were so pressed with that, you knocked me out, number words, to say it couldn't be regular tzaras. You had to say, well, it's talking about unusual way, and it's Karen, and it has to be in the damages field, and this and that, and that's how we could come out, according to Rabbi Tarfon, that you pay full damages from the body. So he's saying, that's not the only way you can skin this cat. And that's what he's saying. My time up. What was the reason that compelled you to say that Rabbi Lazar has to hold like Rabbi Tarfon, it's a case in the damages field, blah, 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 blah. The reason that you felt forced to say that was Mishum Nunshin, the Nesek Shom, because the fact you have to pay the full damages from the animal's body. So he says, well, if I can give you another way to show you pay the full damages from the body, you know, then I'd be okay. That was the whole problem. So I'm going to give you another way to do this. That was the whole problem. So now let's say here's going to be the new way to get the half damages, good old-fashioned tzaras, where it could be a proof. It could be a way to learn it. You're right, it's not for sure because you've given another way. But I can at least give you another reason why Rabbi Lazar says to pay full damage from the body. He's going to say it like this. Rabbi Lazar sover kesumchas. Number one, let's say that Rabbi Lazar holds like sumchas. Okay. Now, what's sumchas' opinion? We know, da'amr tzroras nezek shalom mishalom. You pay tzroras for full amount. Okay, so that was fine, but we said, but you can't do that, because even sumchas would say, if you're paying the full amount, then you have to pay from the best, not from the body. He says, no, I could show you that sumchas, we could find a way, in other words, we could say, it's a regular class of case of tzroras, and we could say, you know, the first opinion says you pay half, you pay from the body half. Rosh says you pay whole. Well, how do you pay whole? If you hold like sumless, it shouldn't be from the body. And I'm going to show you, even like sumless, you can even pay from the body. Because now we have to add a whole new twist, a whole new piece of information. And we're going to introduce to you a new rabbi. We're not going to go on to Rabbi Tarfon anymore. We're going to introduce Rabbi Yehuda. So this is not an abnormal case anymore. It's not abnormal. Go back to the old case. Just put it down and burnt it up. But here it is, the Sover law, Rabbi Yehuda. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And here's the classic position of Rabbi Yehuda, not necessarily one we hold like, but that's the opinion. The Omar, he says an interesting rule, Tzad Tamus Bimakoma Omedes. The side of it being a Tam remains in its place. Now, what does this mean? So, we got to take a look at a Mishnah later on that explains a very interesting concept. Now, we know the law is if an animal gores one time for the first time, he's a tam. That's all. And you pay half damage. Second time, third time, fine. Now, the question is, what if an animal now is a muad? A muad. He's done many times. Now the Torah says, if you have a muad, you have a responsibility to watch it. Now, what happens if you do watch it? I don't want to get into all the details of what the watching is, it's more in Nogea, the sixth chapter. But you have to have like at least a minimal type of watching. A minimal type of watching you have to have. So if you look in the Chumash, and the Chumash says, and if you've been warned three times, and now it's a muad, and the Torah says like this, and if you don't watch it, if you don't watch it, After the third time, then you pay full. Implying, what if you do watch it and it still gores? Mm-hmm. So it seems from the Torah you don't pay anything. Now that's a little bit, that's what it seems from the wording of the Torah. It just says, if you don't watch it, you know, if you watched it, but you didn't lock it up in chains and like mamish, you know, a solitary confinement. You watched it regular, you know. And we see later on in the Gemara, a minimal amount is considered watching. And now it goes out and gore. So the Torah says, if you didn't watch it after that third time, then you pay full damage. The implication pretty much seems to say, what if you did watch it?
You don't pay at all?
If you did watch it, then you don't pay anything. Well, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like that idea. Yeah.
Could they have? The alternative is
I'll have to see. And more than that, the question is, now when you pay full, how do you even pay full? Well, let's just look inside first, before you ask, because you don't have enough information yet. So now let's look at the notes here and see what we draw out of it. And this is the Chiddush opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. I'm just going to say a big Chiddush. What is the full damage payment, even when it's a mu'ad? So let's look what he says. Yehuda rules that if one guarded his animal in a minimal way, he tied it down with a rein or he closed the door in its stall, yet it broke loose and caused damages. That's a minimal watching. Then if it's a tam, he's got to pay half damages, because that's what the Torah says. A tam always pays the first two times half damages. But if it is a mu'ad, he does not pay. He does not pay. That seems almost what the Gemara seems to say. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, that's one way of looking at Yehuda. Now, Rav Ada bar Ava maintains when Yehuda frees the owner from payment for the mu'ad, he refers only to the second half of the damages which are above and beyond the half that the tam is liable for. That's what Rada said. That's what he means to say, because to say it doesn't pay at all, how could a mu'ad be better than a tam? So this, and here comes the clause. He says, but the tam portion remains in its place. What does he mean? He means, how does the animal start? It starts as a tam. So as a tam, it's a tam. It pays half. And where does it pay half from?
Body.
The body. Okay. Now what happens when this tam develops into becoming a mu'ad? So here he said, well, what if you watch the mu'ad? Well, if you watch the mu'ad, you don't got to pay.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you don't got to pay anything. You don't pay it as a mu'ad.
Still pay half.
You pay it as a tam.
Yeah.
And that tam part is always there. But now let's take it one step further. What if he didn't watch it at all? And now it damages. You got to pay full as a mu'ad. But his position is, but the part of the tam always stays. The part of the tam always stays, even if you pay a whole. So what does that mean? But the tam portion remains in its place, i.e., even in the case of a mu'ad, the owner must pay the half damages that he would have had to pay for the tam.
Okay.
Right? It was a tam, he would have had to pay for that. Right? Now, Rav disputes Rav Ada bar Ava and holds that Rav Yehuda entirely exempts from his case. That's simple. We don't bully him. Nor, however, is referring to Rav Yehuda's views and so Rav Ada bar Ava. Thus, according to Rav Yehuda, one's liability for mu'ad is not deemed an altogether new liability of full damages. Rather, one's full liability for mu'ad comprises the half damages liability of tam, plus an additional half damage is liable because the animal is a mu'ad.
Right.
So it comes out Rabbi Yehuda has an interesting opinion about a mu'ad. That even a mu'ad pays half like a tam. The tam part never goes. The tam part never goes.
Okay.
So therefore he holds that when an animal is a mu'ad and you pay full damages, we always break it up in two halves. There's the tam part. The tam part pays like a tam, which means from the body. And the mu'ad part pays like a mu'ad, which means you pay beyond. So it comes out, let's say the damage was $200. So now we look at it half and half. We take the first $100 you paid as a tam, and the second $100 you pay as a mu'ad. So if the animal, let's say, is only worth $50, you'll pay $50 for the tam part, but $100 for the mu'ad part, you only end up paying $150. Because still at all, it's an unusual type of behavior over here. Okay, that's a chiddush. I mean, you can definitely argue that point, and certainly Rav Ada bar Ava, the other rabbi, did argue what Rabbi Yehuda meant. It's a machlokas. What did Rabbi Yehuda mean? Okay, but there is such an opinion that says that the tam part never leaves, even when it's a mu'ad. The tam part never leaves. Okay,
and so it's from the body of the animal.
Right. Okay, that's a Kiddush. That's a Kiddush.
Yeah.
But that's what he's saying. He's saying that the tam part never leaves. Even when it's a mu'ad, the tam part never leaves.
Yeah.
And therefore, you have part, even in a case of mu'ad, it's only by Karen. But even by a case of mu'ad, what do you have? It still is a tam part that pays from the body.
Right.
You understand that position?
Yeah.
Okay. So once we throw this into you, if you hold like that opinion, not everybody does obviously, but if you hold like that opinion, and we're going to throw in one more little piece of information, now you're going to see what's going on over here. So what was the problem? What was the problem with Rebbe Lozer? What's the problem with Rebbe Lozer? Back to our Mishnah. Rebbe Lozer says you pay the full amount, full damage.
Yeah.
So how in the world can you pay from the body the full amount? Alright, well, let's put a few pieces of the puzzle together and make it happen. If you're going to hold that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that the part of the Tam remains forever. So let's keep playing with this a little bit. We still have a little more to go. V'chi ketani megufo. So now when Rabbi Lazar say you're going to pay for the full amount you pay from the body, what was he talking about? He wasn't talking about the full amount comes from the body. He was only going to talk about what? The half, the tom part, comes from the body. Only part of it comes from the body, but it was still more. Just as Rabbi Lazar understands the full damage of Keren Muad to be a combination of half damages for tom and additional half damage for Muad, right? That was his opinion in Rabbi Yehuda's view. It's the same Rabbi Lazar, right? That's Rabbi Yehuda's view. So too, Rabbi Lazar, who also holds Sumcha's view, that Tzroras has a law of Muad, for which you pay the full damages, understands the Muad payment of Tzroras to be a combination of half damages plus half damages. With the first half damages having the law of Keren Tam, which one pays only from the animal's body. And when the Beraisa states that according to Rabbi Lazar, the owner is liable to pay only from the dog's body, he refers only to the first half of the Tzroras payment, which like the payment of Keren Tam, the second half of the Tzroras payment, however, is payable even from choice property. In other words, when Rabbi Lazar said, you pay the full amount, he's treating it as no different than Keren Tam. Keren Tam, it's no different than Keren Tam. Just like in a classic case, when an animal gores, it pays as a tom for the first three times from the body. Then when it becomes a muad, the tom part never left. The tom part never left. And therefore you're still going to pay half for the tom part and full for the muad part from the best. So he's going to say that the same thing is in the case of Tzroros, that even though you're paying the full amount, the first half is a tom part because first time it happened. And it is still a bit unusual. So, but since he says you pay the full, but the first half is from the tom part. And that's where you have the gufo. The gufo's only on the first half, not on the whole thing. Because, and that's similar to what was said in Rabbi Yehuda when you're talking about muad for goring. Same thing. Right? Just like we learned in Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lazar understands Rabbi Yehuda that when it becomes a muad, the tom part never is gone, and you pay the first half from the body. So he will understand, Rabbi Lazar will understand, if you hold like Sumchas, and Sumchas says you pay the full amount, but even Sumchas will say the full amount, half is considered tom, and the other half is considered muad. And when the bride said, now he'll say, we can learn the Mishnah's a case of Tzroros. And the Tanakhama says you pay half from the body. That's my proof. You had a problem with Rabbi Lazar. How do you pay the whole? Well, that's not a problem. You can pay the whole, even from the body. But it didn't mean the whole from the body. It means you pay part of the whole from the body, which is half, the top part. Now, as difficult of a stretch it is, and you have a million questions you could ask on this, Gemara asks the simplest question to blow this answer out of the water. You can just blow this answer out of the water. And a lot of questions I had on this, but we'll leave it with the Gemara's question. Now, obviously, there's a little bit different over here. What's the obvious difference here? He just wants to say the same thing. Just like Rabbi Yehuda says, well, the first time half, second time half, third time half, fourth time, when it's a muad, you still keep the half of the tom. Similarly, when you have tzroros, when it pays as a muad, you still pay half like a tom. What's the obvious problem with this answer? The case of Tzroros, you want to apply this law the first time it does it. Rabbi Yehuda only said it by the fourth time. Rabbi Yehuda said that the tom part doesn't leave when you pay for a muad, but that's after it's done three times as a tom. Once it was first a tom, if it's first a tom, then it becomes a muad, then we say that the tom part doesn't leave. But you, and we say, just like we say that, we say the same thing by Tzroros. But by Tzroros, you don't wait for the fourth time.
That's right,
you pay right. It's the first time you're paying full. So where are you telling me there's a tom part the first time? If there really was a tom part alone by goring, there's only a tom part all by itself the first time. Second time, third time. So you can say, okay, even by the fourth time, we still remember the first time and don't take it off. We pay it that way. But here you want to just jump right in and say, by Tzroros, the full payment, well, we look at the tom part. How can you make a tom part when you're starting to pay full?
Right.
When you're starting to pay full, even if whatever you want to say, you can't start, if you're starting with full, how can you say there's a tam part when you're starting to pay with full? And that's how the Gemara is going to just knock that answer right out of the water. Amar le Rav Sama, Breda Rav Asher, Ravina, Rav Sama, the son of Rav Asher, said to Ravina, what are you talking about? Amor deshamet le Rav Yehuda. When did Rav Yehuda say this big chiddush that there's a half tam part by a muad? Bitam v'nasa muad. When it was a tam and it became a muad, then you'd say the tam part may still remain when it is a muad. But b'muad mitchilasal. But when the muad, you want to make a muad from the beginning, which is the case of sumchas of full damages. Did you ever hear that? We have to turn the page. It'll take a minute for it to get going. To the next top of the next page. Hey, come on. Oh, you play too much with it. It bites your back. No, I don't want that either. Hang on. Okay. So, but it to be a muad from the beginning, Mishamatle, did we hear this? Come on, give me the pop-up. Okay, right, did you hear this? In other words, have you heard Rabbi Yehuda that he treats the first half of the payment like the payment for a tam? Certainly not. You can't say this is the first time to say a tam. Thus, the Gemara's original rejection stands. It says you can't learn it's a regular case of tsroros. It doesn't work. The can you think stands. The price certainly cannot be interpreted for a simple case of tsroros. We have to learn it a different way we learn it. And thus have bearing an inquiry. No! Because Rav Lozer would never have ruled full damage from the body of the dog in a simple case of tsroros. So, you know, you tried to give me another kick at the can of saying, well, it's a case of tsroros. I can still figure out how he pays full amount. It doesn't work! So therefore, it's not there. So now, what's the Gemara's next step? Gemara's next step is we're going to stop. Okay, so we're right now holding this. Monday we'll finish up. We're right now holding. We only have one way to learn the mission of Brisa. It's not talking about simple tsroros. There's no way to learn simple tsroros, and therefore it's complete. Not only it's not a proof, it can't ever be a proof. There's no way to learn it with tsroros. We're going to give it one more try, and then we're going to have to knock that one out as well. Okay. Shkayat, guys.
Why would they propose something like that if it can be knocked off so obviously, so easily?
Well, you know, again, for us to know what the possibilities are not. Sometimes you have to bring it to know what's not the pshat.
But maybe there's another aspect. Maybe there are pieces out there, and that in the end, it's only by having these possibilities that something will be, you know, there will be a case where somehow some aspect of this is useful. I mean, God knows all the details. He knows what's going to unfold, and maybe it turns out that someone needs exactly that in order to explain their situation. Then we would say it makes no sense, but God would say it makes a lot of sense.
Okay, good. All right.
Sure. Thank you.
But they're still not giving up so easy.
I think the recorder's still
on. Oh, okay, straight. Thank you.